Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 21st of Sha'ban, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 24th of March 2022. We continue with our series on inheritance, today being the episode number 10. You can send in your queries to the number 084-786-3132. In a foreign country, you will dial +27847863132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Mufti Sapia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum maulana. Barakallahu feekum maulana. Jazakallahu khairan. We welcome all the listeners of Radio Garden as well, Radio Al-Ansar International as well, and mashallah, they say we must welcome them and Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, the first question is, what is the history of inheritance?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To appreciate Islam, remember that always we have to juxtapose and compare it with what was the status quo, what was the historical perspective, and so forth and so on. When we study what would happen prior to the advent and miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the honorable auspicious birth of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember the Arabs had a criteria. The criteria was only those people that would participate in battle and combat and so forth, they will inherit. So automatically children were deprived, women were deprived, never will they receive even 1 cent. So that was their law. Islam came and abolished all that and said that this is jahiliyyah. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Any law that people pass in those days, even today or in the future, which is against the law of Islam, remember more so the Muslim countries, the Arab countries and so forth. So remember, non-Muslims, you can expect it from them, but what is surprising is supposed to be Muslims. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. What are they seeking? The laws of jahiliya, the laws of ignorance. So that is in paganism. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا. Whose laws can be better than him, Almighty Allah's law? For who? لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. For a people who have, you must remember, conviction and iman and so forth. So therefore, each one of us should know that and we believe in that. So this is mentioned in chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 50. So Surah 5, verse 50. So Islam came and said, no, children must inherit, women must inherit, and remember that the men will inherit. So much so, if you look at the Quranic heirs, those whose shares are stipulated and specified in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, and so forth. So broadly speaking, there are 12. And from the 12, remember, 8 are females and 4 are males. So subhanAllah, Islam through the revelation, the wahi, brought about such a revolution. People who were not inheriting a single cent, a single penny, but you find that now when you break it up, then they are 8, the females and children and all of them, the daughters and so forth. And then you come to the male, they are now categorized into 4. So imagine that double was on the female side and male side is only 4. So that is the beauty, the justice system of Islam.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, why do sons get double and women get single?
Remember that is an old, remember, objection raised by the Orientalists, by the non-Muslims, and today's so-called modernist, progressive Muslims. They feel once they supposed to be Muslims, they reject this and they say, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. There must be equality between male and female. So if they're so-called Muslim, they're out of the fold of Islam. Remember, Islam means that you submit, surrender to the commands of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, lovingly, willingly, sincerely. Not you apply your logic. Whose logic we're going to apply? So Islam is supra-logical. It's above my logic, above your logic, above the logic of everyone. I always give the traffic light principle. Look at the robot, look at the traffic light. What you will see? You will see green, you will see orange, you will see red. So the green is the revelation, the wahi, and the orange is the aql, our so-called intelligence, intellect, and then the red, that is our whims, fancies and desires. So when there's a conflict between reason and revelation, when there's a conflict between aql and naql, so naql is Quran, Sharif, Sunnah, wahi, revelation, so that's green. Go, practice on it, propagate it, advocate it, so that's green. And then the orange is our intelligence. So when there's a conflict between reason and revelation, always revelation must get preference. But when there's a conflict between aql, intelligence, and our worm's fancies and desires, then the intelligence must come to the prevail, and that must be practiced upon. You know, a person has problem with diabetes, a person has problem with this illness, the sickness, we beg Almighty Allah for protection. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Ya Allah Jalla wala, we seek your protection from the dreaded evil diseases. The hadith is authentic, mentioned in Abu Dawood, in Sunan Nasai. Be that as it may, so now the craving, the desire is there. Let me have the pudding, let me have the mitai, let me have the sweet meat, let me have the sugar, let me have the and that. So that is the red. So the intelligence, the orange, must come to the rescue and say no. Little bit you will enjoy yourself, and then you'll suffer for weeks and months and so forth. So that is how, once you understand the principle, then a person will lead a life of harmony, serenity and tranquility. So let us take an example. You, Maulana Zahid Khan, so you have a son and you have a daughter, mashallah. So the daughter, son are almost same age, for example. So what is your responsibility to your daughter or daughters? You have to ensure that you provide them with roti, kapra, makan, shelter, food, clothing, education, everything, till they get married, till the age of 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So all that, the onus, responsibility is on you. So it shows that is how the daughter will be taken care of. When she gets married, then the responsibility is transferred to the husband. So from the time of milad, from the time of birth, right till the time of wafat, till the time of death, from the cradle to the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. So remember that Islam will say that somebody is in charge and has to pay for this daughter, for this wife, for this lady, and so forth. And you take the son, your responsibility ends at the age of 16, 17, 18. That after that, you are sending him to the madrasa, Darul Uloom, university, whatever. So remember, I went when I was 17 years old. So my father was just doing me a favor. There were organizations who said, we will pay. Allah grant my father, mother, all of them, Jannatul Firdaus. They said, no. It's our son, we will pay for him. Allah gave us the means. But end of the day, I must realize that it was not something mandatory incumbent upon them. They were just doing ihsan, tabarru, a favor to me. And it's something we must never ever forget. So therefore, that I had to stand on my own feet, I had to find my own work, own income, everything. And if the parents, the father, mother, anybody else, then they use money or what have you, that is just ihsan. So once we understood that principle, now start the application of it. Now that daughter will get married and inshallah her husband will take care. But that son there, he has to get married, he has to look after his wife, he has to look after his children. So his expenses, if you look at it, is 5 times, 10 times more than that compared to the daughter, compared to the sister, and so forth. So therefore, it is not something based on chauvinistic reasons, as the West want people to understand that Islam is favoring the man compared to the female, and so forth. No. So Islam is looking what we call fiqhul waqi'. So fiqhul waqi' means look at the practical application of the Islamic law. So that is what it is. So my son, he has to get married, he has to look after his son, after his wives, after his daughters, after his sons and children and so forth. But my daughter, your daughter, she doesn't have to do that. So therefore, Islam said, لِلْذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, for the male, there will be double compared to that of the female. So that is the divine justice and divine wisdom in this law here. Not what the West are trying to portray, that Islam is being unfair to the females and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, before we go to the shares which listeners are requesting, they are requesting that we do a quick recap of the discussions of the previous weeks. So Mufti Sahib, when a person passes away, where do we start?
Okay, before we go to that, remember that, so, you know, I always give this 1-2 examples. We are now in 2022. So you see America. America is supposed to be the leader of the free world and is supposed to be the biggest economy in the world and a lot of issues. But in the past 240 years, not once did they have a female president. So they should be the last people to speak. You take the rogue regime of Israel. So remember, they had female prime minister, but from that time, 1948 till now, so more than 70 years has passed, remember, they never ever had a female president. So these are facts that nobody can refute and reject. And if you take another easy example, so I don't know, Maulana, when I was very young, you know, so we're still okay, I think, we're not so old, but anyway, so you must remember that we used to play soccer, cricket, tennis, all that. So if you look at tennis, so you will find that till today, everywhere in the world, for the men, they play best of 5, you see. So if you win 3 sets, you're the winner. So they play best of 5 sets for men. And for women, they play the best of 3 sets. So how come there's so much discrepancy? How come there's no equality in that? So it shows in your own system, you will find you don't have equality, although you make big noise about equality and justice and so forth. But in your own day-to-day life, you don't have it. And this is across the board, across the world. So therefore, they should be the last people to speak about it and object on Islam. Regarding death, now it takes place, we know death is inevitable. One someday somebody will pass away, or my father passed away, mother passed away, brothers passed away. We say Rahimahullah for all of them, Allah grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus, Almighty Allah envelope them all the marhumin with this special mercy. So what should you, the family, do? ABC family, this morning your father, your mother, somebody passed away. So these are the steps, and each one must be taken according to sequence. That first and foremost, in the house or wherever, you should see there are certain amanat, certain things that don't belong to the deceased, does not belong to the members of the family, that somebody left it there by you as a trust, whether it was the money, whether it was jewelry, whether it was gold coins, silver coins, valuables. So that first thing must be taken and given to the rightful owners. Almighty Allah teaches us, in إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Verily, Almighty Allah commands you that return and give back the items and articles and merchandise, whatever, to the rightful owners. This is enshrined in the Noble Quran, chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 58. Surah 4, verse number 58. So that is what is compulsory upon us. Because if we all keep silent, what will happen? So we will all assume and presume and think that this year belongs to our deceased father, deceased mother, or whoever, and then it will become part and parcel of the deceased estate. Whilst in reality, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to ABC person, XYZ person, who left it there as an amanat, as a trust, and said that I'm going overseas, I'm going here or there, or I'm moving premises, so I want you to keep all my valuables and so forth. So whatever the reasons are. So many a time that is overlooked, and remember, people just don't bother about that. That's wrong. So I gave you the verse and so forth, chapter 4, verse 58. Second one, remember, now we're going in sequence. So normally we will say that burial, funeral expenses are the first. So that's correct. So the other one I mentioned is something we must take into cognizance and we must remember. So what do we mean by burial, funeral expenses? You know, the grave, you have to pay for it. The hearse is not going on Zamzam water. So you have to pay for that, to janaza, to the graveyard. Then the coffin, the shroud, you have to pay for that. So today you have organizations. I might just give you an example. So ABC organization charges 5,000 rand. Somebody charges 10,000 rand, because the prices of the graves in certain areas, municipalities, are much more expensive compared to other towns or cities. So it will go from 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. So that also must be remembered. That. So that is what we mean. Now Allah just put one masla in my head now. You see, our foreigners, our brothers, sisters, some of them from Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Morocco, Egypt, here and there. They are here in their thousands in South Africa. And then what happens is they pass away. Then the family in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Egypt, Morocco, wherever, they insist that no, you can't bury them here. The body must be sent now back to the country of that person. So that is absolutely haram. That is absolutely haram. Remember that. From South Africa, how many incidents we know? Bodies were taken, all that. So in a case like that, so now if you take the fiqh, the jurisprudence, the Islamic law and Sharia, that expenses, can you take it from the estate of the deceased? No, you can't do that. Why? Because takfeen and tadfeen and that burial funeral expenses means what I told you. Not transporting from your country to that country, that or that, that family there who's insisting, they must pay for it. Not you take from the estate, that's not permissible. See how Islam is. Then you take another example, which happens all the time. So now when the janaza or that, so people start coming to the house and us. So our people now, they want to give tea, they want to give cakes, they want to give biscuits, all that. So this tea, cake, biscuits cannot come from the estate of the deceased. Remember that. That you, the brothers, the sisters, the family, you must use your own personal money, not the wealth of the deceased and the estate of the deceased. So these are issues. People just turn a blind. Everything lungile, everything kullu halal. No, Islam is very, very strict on these issues here. So that's one. Then the next one you must remember is the debts of the deceased. Remember that debts are such, if we can lead a life, a debt-free life, a sin-free life, then that person is min awliya illah. So sin-free, every day we are committing sins. Therefore, the awliya, Allah, the Sufi, Sufis, they made a law like, Kulla yawmin lam ya'si Allah fi fawa yawmu eedin. Every day that passes, everyone should take stock of himself or herself. That 24 hours, we did not break, we did not violate the laws of Almighty Allah. In that 24 hours, so that day is your personal Eid day, the day of happiness for you, that I pass the day and night without committing a sin. We're not saying it is Eid day for everybody. For you individually, it is Eid day, that you led a life that is sin-free. So similarly, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith in Sunan Nasai, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa deen. One word is deen, religion. One word is deen, your debts, your accounts, your loans, all these type of things. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, who is, who always will be, the only rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the entire universe and creation, said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa deen. I seek your protection, Ya Allah, from blasphemy and debts. Sahaba, the beloved students, companions who were there, they said, so wait, the deen bil-kufri, Ya Rasulullah. It's like you almost put both of them on par, that they're on the same level, debts and blasphemy. Qala na'am. The Master alayhi salam said, yes, sallallahu alayhi salam. So each one of us should stay away. This is the capitalistic system, you must remember. The secular system, they make people go and practice against religion and so forth. So you're always in the debt trap. They will tell you now, who will pay for your funeral? Who will pay for all the expenses? You said, yeah, you know, it's right what you're saying. So they'll tell you, okay, come there to ABC company, XYZ company, and take out funeral insurance. So for the rest of his life, he's in debt. Then they will tell you, another guy will come, broker. They call him broker. They call him broker because he's going to break you, actually. You see, all these words, you must study the philology also of it. So they want to break you. You must remember that. They call him broker. So he'll come and he'll tell you, you know what? Now you're going to die. Then who's going to take care of your wife? Who's going to take care of your children? That they were wondering, what will happen to them? See that happened, that happened. That uncle, that auntie, that woman, that person, all. So they say, yeah, it's right, it's right. So زَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The Satan, Lucifer, Shaitan comes and he beautifies, he adorns, he embellishes all these vices. So then they start life insurance. So whether it's funeral insurance, whether it's life insurance, all this Islamically totally haram and has no place in Islam. See? So that is how. Make it a usul, a principle in your life, and you will see how much barakah, blessing they will be. So I always tell my wife, Alhamdulillah, I don't owe anybody anything. You can sleep peacefully, you don't have to duck and dive. When people, oh, they see the person, the creditor, then they just move away somewhere because they don't want to cross paths and that, because that person will tell him, bye, where's my money? Where's that you're supposed to pay? All that. So many things you will protect yourself from. So number two, the debts of the deceased. So Hanafi scholars only say that debts means the debts of the deceased which he owes to people. That is Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever. But if you take majority scholars, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali, they say no. That debts has a broad connotation, because the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Deynullah ya haqqu wa ufa. Whether the person made wasiyat or not, whether he mentioned it or not, automatically it will be taken from the estate of the deceased. That is what Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's are saying. So that person ABC passed away, he didn't pay zakat for 5 years, he didn't pay the fidya for the Ramadan fast that he must, you know, 30 rand per fast, he didn't pay for the kafara of the oath, and he desecrated the honorable name of Allah, and there's a penalty to be paid, he didn't pay all that. So you take all that to together, it works on 100,000, so you have to pay that. Whether it was stipulated by the deceased, yes or no, is immaterial. So that is the meaning of Daynullah Haqqu Wa'ufa. So if you look at it, the Dalil and the evidence of majority scholars is very strong also. So that is number two. Number three will be Wasiyya. Wasiyya means to bequeath, where you bequeath for non-heirs, and the maximum amount will be 1/3 of the net estate. So after the burial, funeral expenses, after the debts of the deceased, whether it is debts of human beings or debts of Almighty Allah according to majority scholars, or debts of human being according to the Hanafi jurors, so what is left now, you call that the net estate. So maximum amount 1/3 then. So you must remember that. So there's 3,000 rand left, so you can't go more than 1,000. There's 30,000, you can't go more than 10,000, like that. So in a case like that, you have the right to bequeath up to 1/3, and that for a person or organization, and that person must not be the heir, and that organization must not be involved in haram activities like a church and all that. Then that wasiyah will be batil, will become null and void. So we need to understand all these points as well. And even then, you see, Quran says, "Min ba'di wasiyatin yusi biha ordain." So Allah Ta'ala mentions wasiyat before deaths. Whereas in practical life, deaths come first, then wasiyah. Inna Allah qaddama al-wasiyah ala dain. So why did Allah Ta'ala mention wasiyya, what you bequeath, what the deceased before debts? Because the debts, they are creditors. They will say, hey, you owe me, your father owe me, your wife owes me, or the husband owes me, whatever. So the person who passed away, so people will come and demand. But the people you made wasiyya for, let's call them the beneficiaries, they won't come and demand, because you must remember, in some cases they don't even know that this was Wasiyah was made and so forth and so on. So because of that, Hikmatullahi Ta'ala, the wisdom of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, he mentioned wasiyah, that the bequeathing before the debts, once in reality, first is burial, funeral expenses, then is the debts of the deceased, then come wasiyah. But Allah Ta'ala, to show the importance and highlight the importance, has mentioned wasiyah first. See? So we need to understand these finer points. You, Maulana, your first child is a daughter, right? MashaAllah. So write it down, Maulana, that you'll remember, you becoming a Hafiz also now, MashaAllah. And our Suleiman Mota also, I think he must start Hifz. So our Suleiman Esop, then he'll get a good wife also. So you must remember that Surah number 42, Surah to Shura, verses 49-50. See, Allah Ta'ala speaks of children. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. First, Allah mentioned daughter, then he mentioned son. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّمَ الْإِنَاثَ عَلَى الذُّكُورِ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned daughter first, and then he mentioned the son. That is tafa'ul, a good omen. Whosoever's daughter gave birth as the first child to a daughter, remember that family is a very, very fortunate family, because the Arabs, even those days and even today, majority of them, you take India, today if they know when they go for the gender test, is a girl, they go for abortion, thousands of them. They destroy it, the fetus, totally haram. So you must remember that. So Allah is mentioning the daughter first, then the son, to show that Allah Ta'ala loves that family even more when he blesses you with a daughter. But whether it's a son and daughter, you must have ridha bil qada. You must be pleased with the decree of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That is Iman and Islam. So see, and look at the word Allah used. Chapter 42, verses 49-50. You know Arabic, Maulana, Yahabu. It is a gift, a present. So imagine Allah's gift, and people are disappointed, people are very, very annoyed and so forth. So therefore we need to understand these finer points as well. And then the last one will come, the shares of the heirs. Remember that. So that will be last. But today, people already jumping and arguing and, you understand, disputing. I want this. But the burial expenses are not paid. Or the debts of the deceased are not paid. Or the wasiyah, what the father, the deceased had bequeathed, that is not done, is not implemented. So how can you start claiming your share? So remember, people who have done this, so for them, then remember Surah 4, verse number 14, and that is, so remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned two scenarios. You do everything properly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 13. And you go, and you usurp the rights of others, you deprive, you disown the heirs or something. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا Whoever disobeys this, these ayats are mentioned after the shares of the heirs are mentioned. So then Almighty Allah, you disobey him, you disobey Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go beyond the limits and reach yourself with ill-gotten gain. You deprive somebody who's an heir, you disown him, you decrease their share, you dakhilhu naran khalidan fiha. Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam for a very, very, very long time. Walahu azabun muheen. And if that person said it's permissible for me to do so, then he exits Islam and leaves Islam, becomes a murtad out of the fold of Islam. And remember that such people, for them, walahu azabun muheen. They will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Allah mahfadna amin. Allah ta'ala protect us.
Inshallah, we'll go for a break now. And after the break, we will continue.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Listening to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl
Sunnah. This segment proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Sahib, is a recap. What are the shares of the husband and wife?
Remember, husband-wife shares are very, very easy. Wife passes away, no child, no children from this husband, previous husband. If she was married, then the husband's share is 50%. And wife passes away and she left the child, she survived by a child or children from him, this current husband or previous husband, then the husband's share is 25%. So husband share either 50 or either 25. Finish. End of the story. So that anybody can by heart it, memorize it straightforward. Another point you must remember also, Maulana, that, and you, the esteemed listeners of Radio Garden, Garden Radio, and of Ansar Radio International, and Marcus Sahaba, and Radio Sirius FM, and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah. Now when you have the heirs, so always look and see if there's a husband there or there's a wife there. So they are the first people you start from them. So you give them their share, then you go to the other heirs. Always remember that. So if there's a husband or there's a wife, so in the list of the heirs, so you start first with them. So that is the husband's share. Either 50%, either 25%. End of the story. Husband passes away, he leaves a wife or wives. So then remember, in that case, the wife share will be 25% or 12.5%. Then I pass away. So my wives, they will inherit 25%. Why? No children. So whether it's two wives or whether it's one wife or whatever. So let's take now it's two wives. So now I got one wife, obviously, an example now. So you must remember that if I got two wives and no children, so 12.5% for the two wives, like that. And remember that if you got now a child, children, so from, you understand, this wife here or previous wife, she passed away or whatever you, so in a case like that, the husband passed away, then the wife will receive 12.5%. 2, 3, 4 wives, same 12.5%. Two wives, so 6.25. So what here is the wife share? 25% or 12.5%? 100% finished. So that there's no ambiguity, there's nothing difficult there. We don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. Husband, 50%, 25%. Wife share, 25%, 12.5%. And if you apply the other law, then also it will make sense to you, it will resonate with you. لِذَكَرِي مِثْلُ حَذِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. For male is double and female is single. So same thing is happening here also. So that is how it will work.
Muftisab, the next question is the shares of the sons and daughters.
Remember, the daughter's share is this. Remember that all these heirs we are speaking about are Muslim. If they're non-Muslim, they don't inherit. If they murtad, they were Muslim, they denounced Islam, became apostate, Allah forbid, they don't inherit. Third one, if they qatil, they murdered. So the husband, they murdered the wife, Allah forbid. The wife murdered the husband. The son murdered the father or mother, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So al-qatilu la yarisu. It's hadith in Tirmidhi. So remember, all the jurors, fuqaha, they accept it. You see, today people take out life insurance. Now this person, he can't wait. So he goes, take his gun, and then he shoots this lady or the person, the male or whatever. And then they cook it up and, you know, make it up as though it's suicide or whatever. So even today, insurance companies, insurance is haram. But once there is foul play and they know that this is a... Well, somebody is responsible for that, so that person will not inherit then. So you must remember that they also apply the Islamic law in this case here. So al-qatilu la yarisu. So it means the person inheriting must not be the murderer of the deceased person, must not be a non-Muslim, must not be an apostate, a murtad or murtadda, and so forth. So all these are unanimous issues, right? So if you have a daughter, one daughter, your own biological daughter, not step daughter, foster daughter, adopted daughter, no. Your own biological daughter, 50%. Two or more, 2/3. And if you have son and daughter, then you know, Molana, you're a master in that now. So what do you say? Double and single. So the first one is male, second one is female, Molana, quick. 5 and 6. So 5 sons and 6 daughters. So what's the share?
16.
So 5 and 6, let's work it out quick. So 5 sons, so double up 10, and 6 daughters, 16. See, Monona sharpshooter. So 2 and 1.
5.
Excellent. 9 and 1.
19.
Excellent. See there, all three perfect, 100%. So now that's how you must learn and all these type of things. So daughter, so 50%. 2 or more, 2/3. They come, daughter also is there, son also is there. So it's a double for the son and single for the daughter. So ratio 2 to 1, لِذَكَرِي مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. So that is how it will work out. Remember another law, that the son, S-O-N, is not Zawil Furuz. He is not a heir that is a Quranic heir whose share is stipulated, but he must inherit unless he's a murderer or a non-Muslim or a murtad and apostate, Allah forbid, Aliyazubillah. But remember the usul, this is a usul and principle 100% across the board. When you have the deceased, the person passed away, he or she is survived by a son or sons. So in a case like that, that son or sons will deprive all the siblings, all the brothers, sisters of the deceased, right? So that is the son will deprive. Similarly, that if the mayit, the deceased, has a father, biological father, not stepfather and adopted father and stepfather, no. So leave all that out, for all that foster father in it. Biological father, then he will inherit and all the siblings, brothers, sisters of the deceased will be deprived. And this law is 100% across the board, across the spectrum. So we should take cognizance of that as well.
Mufti Sahib, the shares of parents.
The shares of parents, you must remember, start with the mother and remember the two usuls I told you. In the hujudil walad. So when the deceased has a child, if the deceased left a son or a daughter, so falaha as-sudus. So for the mother, remember this 1/6, right? And in the wujudit ta'addud, and when the deceased has two or more brothers, two or more sisters, one brother, one sister or more, and you have two or more siblings, it means. So min ayyi jihat kanat, whether they are full brothers, full sisters, half brothers, half sisters, anyhow it can be, they are two or more, so then the mother will inherit 1/6. So if that is the both these situations are not there, then fali ummi thuluth, then the mother will get 1/3. Understood that? So the father, you must remember, if there's a child, children and so forth, then 1/6 for him. And remember that, say for example now, that there is, you understood, the person passed away and now he left a father and left a son. So the father will get 1/6 and the remainder will go to the son. But let's say, now if it is father and daughter, now you work it out, Bonana. So daughter and father. Somebody passed away, who are the heirs, father and daughter. So now you work it out. You tell me, how much for the daughter?
Daughter will get half.
Half. And then what will happen to the father?
He'll get the rest.
Yeah, but you want to break it up. Your answer is right. But to show that you are understanding the inheritance properly, you will say, walil binti, for the daughter, an nisf, half. And for the father, what you will say? 1/6. And that is his Quranic share. And then the ma baqiya, the residue, the remainder, the balance, that the father is inheriting, what? Min tariqil asaba. That he is inheriting by virtue of being an asaba. That is, we will discuss, inshallah, after Ramadan, the asabat and so forth. So that is how you will understand. So your answer is correct. So 50-50%, but we must know how it came to that. So that is of paramount importance. So father will get 1/6 like that. And sometimes you'll get more, especially if there's a daughter there only and so forth. So that's one. Then remember that there is no, you must remember, what we call no children, and there is no brothers, you understand, or there's only one brother, sister. So in that case there, then Quran says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلَدُ وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ. So the mother will get 1/3. So if the mother gets 1/3, so what happens to the remainder, the residue, the ma baqiyah? That will go to?
The father.
Father. How much is that, Maulana?
That will be whatever is remaining.
Yeah, how much? The fraction.
So if the mother got 1/3, then the father will get the rest.
So how much in fraction? 1/3 for the mother. So, how much?
So it will be
2/3.
2/3.
Yeah. So you must remember that. So ma baqiya is right, but you must give the fraction. So 1/3 you call for the mother, and you will say the rest will be for the father. So the rest is how much? Tasulusan. So that is 2/3 for the father. You got it?
Wow. Muftis up the shares of grandparents.
So you must remember the grandfather. Grandfather means paternal grandfather. His share will just be like that of the father. The only time we will get deprived is when the father is there. So I pass away, you pass away, you left a father and you left a jad, a dada, a paternal grandfather. So father will inherit and the grandfather will not inherit. But if there is no father, the father predeceased the son, like that, you understood, or daughter. So now there's a dada, there is a paternal grandfather, then he'll inherit, just like the father. Like that. And remember the grandmother, so there you get both types. You get the dadima, nanima, all that. So maternal grandmother, paternal grandmother, for them is 1/6. They come alone, they come two or whatever. So remember that there will be 1/6 share. But if there's a mother, they deprived. If there's a father, then the dadima will be deprived. You must remember the paternal grandmother will be deprived.
Mufti Sahib, there's a question here. My mother and uterine sister only is in the heirs. So how do we go about distributing the shares?
Very good question. So now you must remember there's a mother and there's a uterine. There is uterine sister, they said.
جي.
Right. So it means أختن لأمين. So how will they? So you know the law. The first will be burial, funeral expenses, then the death of the deceased, then wasiya. So then they say there's a mother of the deceased. So in a case like this, it's only one. There's no other siblings. So the mother's share will be 1/3. How much the mother's share will be? 1/3. Because according to your question, there's no other sibling. There's only one sibling of the deceased. So therefore, the mother will get 1/3. And thereafter, you must remember that أُخْتٌ لِأُمِّنْ, that uterine sister will get 1/6. So now you put there on your paper, Molana, 1/3 for who? For the, you must remember the distinct. And then you must remember that we will look for the أُخْتٌ لِأُمِّنْ 1/6. Right? So you must remember, so how much is that? So plus minus 50% is gone. Right? 50% plus minus, we're saying. So 50% is gone. Now you still got 50% left. So that is where the Asaba chapter will come. So there's no son, there's no father, so now there's no brother. So in a kina like this, we will have to look, you must remember that is there the brother's son. So the deceased brother, to the nephew of the deceased, is there. So then if there is that, then they will inherit the remainder and so forth. If the brothers are not there, the nephews are not there, then we go to the am. Am will be the chacha, the kaka. So that will be the deceased uncle. So he will then inherit. So that is what we call asaba. Asaba bin nafs we call. The residuaries. You look at bunuwa ibn. So there isn't here, no son. You look at ubuwa, father, grandfather, there isn't. Then you look at uhuwa, that is the brother. So you must remember that. So if the brother isn't there, then you look at abana'ul ikhwa. So the brother's son. So like that. So if they are not there, then you go to the am. Am means a'mam. You go to the chacha, the kaka. So that is what you have to look at and see if any one of them are there, then that remainder 50%, 51% will go to them because they are the residuaries, they are the asaba. So that is how it will work. If they're not there, then send another question and then I'll explain to you.
Mufti Sahib, the reply was no other heirs.
If there's no other heirs, maybe it's a people, you understand, who embrace Islam or something, then you must remember there's another chapter which we call Rad. You must remember that. So Rad will be, now this is a long story, you must remember that. So you will give back to them their shares. You must remember that. That is to the mother and all of them. So of the remainder. So best will be in this case here, the mother and this uterine sister, they can just make sulah and that you take this, you take this. They both are akil, they both are sane and mature, and they come to a mutual agreement and so forth. So we come to make a sulah so that will be easy for you all in this case there. So if there are no other heirs.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, and it says here, my husband had a lot of debts in his business. He passed away. All he left us was a flat which he owned. He had one brother, a mother, a son, a daughter, and a wife.
Yeah, so, but you must remember that before you come to the inheritance, if he left a lot of debts, so all the debts has to be paid. So remember, if the estate is all consumed and used up for the debts, then there's nothing for you all to inherit. You must remember that. You're clear on this issue here. Yeah. So just mention that, leave all the siblings out there of this person. Just mention who he left. He left a wife or a mother or a son, or just repeat that, leave the brothers, sisters out.
A mother and a son and a daughter and this wife.
So it means that this person passed away, so he left the wife. So the wife will get 12.5%. Then he left the mother, she will get 1/6, right? So you must remember that. So 12.5% for the wife, then 1/6, so that will be plus minus 17%, just under 17% for the mother. And then the remainder that is, so now you take it 29% plus minus. So the remainder that is left there, so you make 3 shares of it, of the remainder. So that will be 70-71%. So you divide that into three parts. Two will go to the son and one will go to the daughter, and all the siblings of the deceased, they will be deprived. Why are they deprived, Maulana?
Because these children, the son is there.
Don't say children, that's
son.
So the son is there, the son will become the hajib. The daughter comes, then the brother, sister can still inherit. So remember that the son is there, so he deprives them. Right. So one more time. So the wife 12.5%, the mother 1/6, and the remainder residue 3 shares, 2 for the son and 1 for the daughter, if there's only 1 son, 1 daughter. But all this is subject to the burial funeral expenses being paid, the debts of the deceased being paid, and wasiya being implemented for non heirs, maximum 1/3. Then only you come to the shares of the heirs. Next one.
Muftisab, it says here, she's asking if I can take over my late husband's business, and can I take over the debt to be that of mine?
You and the heirs must reach a mutual agreement, then you say that fine, we will take over al-ghunmu bil-ghurmi al-kharaju bil-zaman. So then you must make agreement with the creditors and all of them and say, see, that we don't want to run away, we are going to pay all the debts, but just give us extension in time and respite and so forth. So then you, the family, you can run the business, and then you pay all the debts and so forth and so on. So that will be fine, that will be acceptable, but you must speak. First of all, you, the family, must reach an agreement. Thereafter, you have to make an agreement with your creditors, meaning your husband, the deceased creditors, because you won't be able to pay them immediately. It will take time, so you just tell them, give us 6 months, 1 year, and in that we will try and settle all your debts. So it is in their benefit and your benefit. So you try and expedite all that matters there. The last question.
Mustisab, a son passes away. He leaves behind 2 daughters, 2 sisters, 2 wives, and a father.
So just leave who passed away. So there's a mayit, and then who the mayit left?
So first 2 wives.
Yeah, so 2 wives and the children also. Yeah, so the 2 wives, so there's 12.5% there, so 6 1/4, 6 1/4. Gee.
2 daughters.
And there's a son also?
No sons.
Yeah, so 2 daughters, so 2/3 there. So 2/3 there, and remember 12.5%. So you continue with the percentage also. So that's already, we have 79-80% already. Gee.
2 sisters.
So remember, this is what you call asabat ma'al ghair. So asabat ma'al ghair means the ma baqiyah, the remainder will go to the sisters. So that is how it will be.
But there's a father also.
No, then you see, you should have mentioned the father first. So you must remember. Therefore, you must always mention this. So start again now. So you must remember, in a case like that, so the wives will get their 12.5%. So in a case like that, so 6 1/4, 6 1/4. Then the 2 daughters, 2/3. Then all brothers, sisters deprived, and the father will inherit. But now you must remember how many percent we left with. So we left with, you must remember, plus minus 20-21%. Isn't it so? So then the father will inherit 1/6, that is Quranic share. And then he will take the remainder, the asaba share. So that is how it will work out. Okay, jazakallah khairan. Next up, we go to the news. You must remember with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter Mufti Hashim Bouda with the talk there, mashallah, and advices. 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Hamim Sajda, verses 14 to verse 25, 1:30 to 2, Surah Anbiya, verses 11 to 25, and 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:30, 3:35 will be the repeat of the morning's Q&A. 3:35 to 4 o'clock, Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi in Urdu, the talk and advice. 4 to 5, preserving one's identity, that is Mona Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7 will be Mona Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir, Surah Hamim Sajda, verses 14 to 25. 7:30 to 8, Mona Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advisors. 8 to 10, inshallah, Mona Arafat and Mona Salim Karim, the discussion. And 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar Al Aula Lakiya Shaheed. That inshallah will be the program. Make dua, read Durood Sharif abundantly, and make dua for the Ummah. Barakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.